Coach and Coach Podcast. We are back and we are ready to get loaded tonight. And it's simple. You see what the descriptions say. The gloves are off. But Coach, man, welcome back, man. You've been on vacation. You was able to let your hair down a little bit and you're back and you ought to be refreshed and ready to roll because you came into the best possible situation because Ole Miss is 11-1 and just won the Egg Bowl and everybody's talking about this Ole Miss team, man. When you got back, I know you were excited.
Yeah, it was good to get away.
I didn't realize how, I guess, it's been a while since I made a long drive like that. I guess I'm getting older and took me a while to recover from. Today was a recovery day for sure, but I am recovered and we're here. Almost thought I forgot how to do all this and get in here and get set up. Because I broke down everything and took it with me, and the timing just never worked out for me to get with you and do anything. But I got back and set it up, and I looked at Carrie and was like, "I hope this is right. We're gonna find out here in just a minute." So, but it's right. We're here. Hope you had a great holiday, Coach. I know you're eager to tell us how you feel about some things, and congratulations on your news today. And I'm ready to get it rolling.
Yeah, I've rejoined your circle. My wife, she found out today that she's having a girl, and
hit the woohoo button, Coach. Hang on.
Yeah, which one?
Woo-hoo. Oh, no, come on.
That's how I feel. But it's all good, man. You know, my wife, she loves to, I tell her all the time, you overdo things sometimes. You get so worked up, and you get so out of control, and then you get upset. And I'm looking up and seeing Alabama is about to take Auburn to the woodshed. It's already 17-0, and it's probably going to get worse than that. But welcome to the Coach and Coach Podcast. I know that y'all have been waiting on us because, man, we got a lot to say. We are live on TikTok, and we are live on Facebook Live. And also, if you want to catch the replay of the show, it will be available tomorrow morning on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcast. You will be able to hear the replay of this episode, and I promise you, after tonight, you will want to listen to this again and again and again and again. But Coach, let's go straight to it, man. An Egg Bowl that I can say, Coach, I'm not going to say I wasn't excited. But, you know, there was a lot of things that just pulled from that Egg Bowl.
Yeah, I spent most of the day on the road watching it on my phone. But, you know, caught the fourth quarter when I got home. And I thought, you know, Ole Miss played a game that, you know, State did some things. They were like, we're not going to let Kewon Lacy just tote the rock on us for, and I mean, he went over 100 yards. But,
yeah.
They were like, he's not going to be the reason why they beat us. And they played a lot of press man and stuff. So I know that Chambliss, if he hits some throws, I think it's 38-7 in the first half.
He had a stretch where he was really off for about 7 or 8 deep passes. Yeah. But he got himself together.
But he hit the ones, you know, I thought the one to, especially at the end, kind of the one that was the final nail, was a great pass. The one to Dejon Stribling in the first quarter was a great pass. And then, you know, defensively, I thought Ole Miss played to say, hey, you know, Kamario Taylor's got a big arm. We know Jeff Levy's offense is kind of it's a vertical read offense that's going to try to hit you down the field. And they're not going to, you know, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to do kind of what we've done all year in a lot of situations is rush 3, drop 8. And, you know, they didn't really hit Ole Miss's defense on a lot of explosive pass plays. Now, Kamario Taylor had a great day. I think he was like 175 yards rushing from the quarterback position. And he looked decent in the passing game too, but there was a talent discrepancy there. And, you know, Ole Miss, I thought, you know, as concerned as I'm sure some Ole Miss fans were about how this would go, I thought they were pretty locked in to the game, to at least what it looked like the game plan was, and you know, executed it for the most part.
especially in 2022. And I think what helped out Ole Miss this time is that we are very deep into the transfer portal era. I think it was being introduced. I think it was introduced then. And Coach, help me out with these questions, man. We promise you we're going to try our best to answer questions on TikTok and on Facebook. We will come back to you. But I think in 2022,
we're definitely going to get to Arkansas, because I think Arkansas and Ole Miss, like, all these jobs intertwine.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, you know, the next segment where the coaching stuff's going to come into play, I think a lot of questions will be answered if you're asking a coaching question, if you're willing to hang out with us till we get to that point, because everything's intertwined here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But go ahead.
I just felt like in 2022, we was in that introductory stage of the transfer portal. So a lot of players that was at Ole Miss was at Ole Miss, you know. The significant of the distractions had a deeper effect, opposed to players now, you know, in the last 2-3 years, you know, we've had players for a year, you know, they don't really have a deep connection. So their ability to be distracted, I think, was minimized because they haven't been in the system long enough or have that type of deep commitment like it was in 2022. But for the most part, and I did see a take where a State fan had made a comment, and I'm not sure if it's not correct. They said if Taylor had been their quarterback, they may be at 7 wins this year.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. You know, he missed. I think you kind of saw some things that maybe Lebby was.
That's a lack of reps.
Yeah, was worried about. But I can definitely see where more reps would cheer some of that stuff up. I don't know. You know, I'm not, like I've said it before, I'm not in that building. I don't know. I'm assuming him being as young as he was, he's a freshman. I mean, he's a young pup. Kind of makes you wonder if they're just now getting comfortable with turning him loose with a full playbook or and things like, maybe there was some stuff that they had to be confident about from understanding their offense. But I think from a talent standpoint, he would have won you some ball games just based on his talent, on his ability.
And I think a lot of them would be like, you know, well, if he was the guy, then he would have been starting at first. And why did you pick him for the Egg Bowl? Well, they needed a spark. They needed a spark, and whether he was ready or not, I think he gave them their best chance on yesterday. Mississippi State's defense failed them. Even on all of the bad throws and, you know, being able, it wasn't a time where I was, you know, concerned. So, but, you know, take the Egg Bowl. You did your job. It's one of those situations where I always tell my kids, when they come in talking about they've made, you know, a good grade. Well, you're supposed to. You know, I'm not finna reward you for doing something you're supposed to do. So, Ole Miss did what they were supposed to do, but unfortunately, the whole broadcast had nothing to do with Ole Miss football. Well, indirectly it did, and it's just, you know, I will say this, Coach, I have interacted more times on Twitter and Facebook in 3 days than I've probably done in 10 years, to where I'm going back and forth with people. I've been on people, you know, different pages on Facebook where people I don't even know. Well, you know what, and I'm going right back at them. You know, I've been on Twitter. This is the most I've ever been on it. And here's the thing. And I want to put this disclaimer out because I need people to understand this. I am not mad. I think I said this before, so I'm going to say it again. I'm not mad that he is going to take another job. That's fine. I think I said this on the other night. That's fine. If somebody's crazy enough to offer you almost $100 million, you go take it. I'm more upset with how this whole thing is going about and how naive. And so, Coach, I'm feeling like our fan base is like a doggone a girlfriend who just done been cheated on and been cheated on. Well, at least he come home. Yeah, after he done been with 47 people. But it seemed like we are okay with this circus. Coach, I wish I would have wrote down, I should have wrote down how many times that it was referenced, what decisions he's going to make tomorrow. We are freaking 11-1, just won the Egg Bowl, got an opportunity to host a freaking game, and y'all are talking about the coach leaving. I got a problem with that, Coach.
Yeah, I understand. I have too been on the social media kind of – my thing's trying to defend the Ole Miss Athletic Administration. The narrative that come out today, peddled by everybody at ESPN. I will say the Fox broadcast, if you watch Big Noon Kickoff, they kind of those guys kind of were like, hey, Lane, you know, you talk about wanting to go win a national championship. You're kind of – if you look in the mirror – I think it's the exact quote. If you look in the mirror, you have a team that's one of 12 teams that's going to have a chance to win a national championship this year. But the ESPN crew, they definitely were lobbying that Lane Kiffin coached through the rest of the season, even if he decides to leave. So, of course, yeah, Nick Saban included.
Wonder why they were lobbying.
Well, they're all – we know. They're all – clients of the same agency that represents Lane Kiffin would be my guess.
What was so crazy is that the same man that relieved this man of his duties when he didn't take a job at another SEC school. He went to Florida Atlantic. Nobody that was going to even compete with you in nothing, not in recruiting. He wasn't going to compete with you in nothing. They weren't going to compete with you in nothing. And you told him you are a distraction. You got to go. And you had the nerve to get on national TV to try to beckon the Ole Miss administration to allow him to coach if he want to leave? Are you stupid?
But, JB, that's the thing is, and we don't know this. I'm not super sourced with LSU. I listen to some guys that are clearly sourced, like Matt Moscona, and so, but the things that you read and hear is that LSU, what's the interim, Frank, what's his name, the interim for LSU?
Frank Wilson,
that he's a great recruit, he's been a great recruiter for them, that he'll be an LSU guy,
one of the best.
And that they're willing to wait, so he doesn't have to be on LSU's payroll, and that's where the problem comes in for Ole Miss, is that for everybody, like, if LSU is willing to wait this out, then Ole Miss can't really say, like, hey, you've got to get out the door, because that means they would be firing him and it would owe him money. Does anyone really think LSU would allow him to coach Ole Miss while on their payroll? From my understanding, they're willing to wait. He's not going to be on the payroll till he decides to ink the contract. And as much as we've heard, and that Ole Miss is going to put this deadline on it, and I do think that after the Iron Bowl tonight, we're going to know something. But I think until they know, like, I think he wants to coach in that SEC championship game, and it doesn't look like it's happening.
Yeah, Alabama is making sure that they saying we got this under control.
But Coach,
here's my question to you, Coach.
Because we'll answer your questions, because I'm sure we're going to get to it. Just hang on 1 second.
My question to you, Coach. We've been Ole Miss fans a long time. You virtually your whole life. I've been Ole Miss fan since 1989. That was when I think I was 11, 12 years old. That we went to a game and I was hooked then. And I've saw us, we've blamed Tuberville. When Tuberville, it's true, it ain't no rumor. You know, my cousin played on that team. a guy, Coach Witch, was on that team, and Tuberville came into the locker room after the Egg Bowl and said, guys, don't pay attention to these rumors. They are just rumors. That's what he said, and then he was out the door. And the Ole Miss fan base was mad, and they still mad at Tuberville. Houston Nutt, he sparked a lawsuit towards us, and we're still mad at him. Hugh Freeze used the wrong phone, and we're still mad at him. But I'm seeing all of this sympathizing. Oh, this is just a hard decision for Lane. Why are y'all mad at Lane? This is just a hard decision. What? Are you kidding me? This is my thing. If we are going to say this is okay, then there need to be a public apology to Tommy Tuberville. There need to be a public apology to Houston Nutt, and it need to be one to Hugh Freeze and Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that I was really young for the Tommy Tuberville stuff.
I was at the game, Coach. He ran a one man route.
Remember, I might have been there, but it's
oh my God, it was terrible, man.
I might have been there, but I was probably three or four. But anyway, my thing is, from my understanding of the Tommy Tuberville situation, he said, hey, they're gonna have to carry me out of here in the pine box or whatever. Yeah. The one thing, if I'm going to give Lane credit for anything, it's that he's been transparent. Like, he said, like, I don't know what my decision is. You know, I will say, like, if you're a fan, at least he's not saying, yeah, I'm in, and then out the door.
Hold on. Tuberville told his players the same thing Lane is probably telling his. Don't pay no attention to this. You know, this is the price of success and blah blah blah. Tuberville never told us anything.
He has been transparent with Keith Carter. Like, Keith Carter, I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about everything I'm coming from is from the athletic, is conversation between Lane Kiffin and his representative Jimmy Sexton. And the representation at Ole Miss of Glenn Boyce and Keith Carter. I'm not saying that he's been transparent from the standpoint of we know everything. But I will say, from my understanding of everything I've read, that Keith Carter and Lane Kiffin have talked daily, and And I agree. From my understanding, there's no optimism that he is staying. So at least you're not in a situation where you're fully optimistic, committed, and all in on, hey, Lane will be here next year. At least you have an idea to pivot and move on.
As a fan, I don't want him back. I don't. I know that sounds crazy. I know a lot of people, oh, man, you crazy. He done did amazing things. I don't want him back because this is what you get when you get Lane Kiffin. Because here's the problem that we've made a mistake as Ole Miss fans. When we brought him here, we were so starved because of the Matt Loop thing that we were willing, and we showed him that we are willing to let you do whatever. Just stay with us. And a lot of people will disagree on this, but I'm gonna hold on to it. Lane Kiffin did not put us on a national level. Hugh Freeze did. The reason, to prove my point, Hugh Freeze had us number one in the nation. I don't care that we had to share it with them cow manure slingers down highway, whatever that, 82. But we was number one. Two times in his tenure, we was in the top eight in recruiting. He got us on the map, and then we fell off. Then we act like he came in. We treat Lane like we were in the abyss for 40 years, and he came in and saved us. And that's what I'm sick of, Coach, is everybody's acting like he has saved the program. Well, the program, it fell off with Matt Luke, which I didn't agree with the hire, but they were. I think they did what State did. when jumping the gun on their hire before Libby, I think we jumped the gun and went, you know, Matt Luke is here, let's just go with Matt Luke. But to act like, and this is how we're treating him now. This is why we can't get no, we are the only, coach, answer this. Have you ever seen this in your college football history? Have you ever seen something like this? Ever?
No, I have not. Not a, I think I heard today that we're on a 41, this is day 42 of this saga.
Just doubled 2022. Boy, I'm so glad they sent me that. I'm so glad my friend sent me that post, cause just so I can always, I kept it with me so I can always prove my point. I said this 3 years ago. I said it was coming back, and nobody wanted to listen to me. They just said you just a lane hater. Okay, lane hater.
And look, I think if there's one thing that Lane did do, and I think that he should get credit for in this time, it would be that. I think he had as much to do with as far as getting, you know, because he's kind of been the runner of this program. Like, there's not a whole lot of booster involvement, things like that. Like, he has the reins. He hired the GM for the program. And I think that they got ahead of the NIL situation and kind of were front runners of how this should operate. And I think they all worked together to get the guidelines of how we're going to do this.
Well, I give him credit.
He deserves credit for that.
Because he introduced a new era. I give him credit for that. But to act like that we're on a national scene only because of him is what I got a problem with.
But I think that, honestly, if Ole Miss could get an answer and move forward, I think with what they have in an athletic administration and what they have from their collective, the people running it with Walker Jones, depending, I know they'll end up having to get I'm assuming Glasscock goes with Kiffin. I'm assuming they'll have to get a new GM, but I feel like
that's
they'll
fine.
Figure that out.
That's fine.
I think you're set up in a better spot than you were in 2019, clearly. But I just think that I don't think all the people out here saying, like, the success is solely on Lane Kiffin, that they are a little Ole Miss, that they are going back to the basement. I think you have a great support staff community that's going to keep that from happening. But you cannot, to go back to what someone asked earlier about why deadline, you need an answer soon.
Yes.
Because coaches are, your number one choice to replace him. It's probably going to be announced at Florida in a day or two.
Yeah, they're already saying that he's about to be announced because he's not going to sit around and wait for it.
No, I mean, he can't. Like, you have guaranteed life-changing money in front of you. You cannot say, well, you know, I don't like this situation. I don't like some things about this situation. Let me see if this situation comes open. You have to take that life-changing money.
Coach, here's the thing. Outside of the position coaches that we hired to be head coaches in the era that we were in. Now, that's what people got to understand now. The coaches were successful in the era that they were in. Outside of the position coaches, that's Ogeron, who was a defensive line coach that we gave the head coaching job because of his great recruiting skills, and Matt Luke, who was an offensive line coach and was a co-run, was he run coordinator? Because they had an offensive coordinator, and then he did the run coordinator, somebody did the pass.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of those two coaches, Ole Miss have been able to get things going here. But the X factor that we got right now is that it's not about selling the program anymore. You just got to have the money too. Those other coaches had to sell the program. The next coach don't have to do that. They don't have to be master recruit. Crap, Lane Kiffin wasn't a great recruiter.
No, and I think that's ultimately why I don't think he'll be successful at the level that everybody believes he will at LSU, is because he's not known to be the guy that spends the I bet if you looked at Kirby Smart on the recruiting trail and you looked at Lane Kiffin on the recruiting trail, you'd be like, guys, like, is Ole Miss going to be able to compete? He does not recruit. He doesn't like to recruit. And I think
Who's another coach that don't like recruiting is having a bad year right now?
Dabo.
Mm-mm.
I was gonna
Go
say
further
Dabo
north.
don't. Well, Dabo don't
Go
like paying the
up
players.
north. Go up north. Kid's gone. Dion don't like to recruit.
Yeah, that's true.
He don't like to recruit. He think, no offense to Dion, but his name should carry enough, but it's just not enough in this day and time. We're in a different era. These kids talking about show me the money. I don't care about that you a Hall of Fame cornerback. Show me the money.
Yeah, and
Because if that
so
were the case, McClain would have stayed at Colorado. You with the best cornerback in the world. Why would I leave?
yeah, I think that you've seen it where I think that, I mean, because we've had it reported. I mean, it came out of his mouth in a press conference that I think he believes that if he had LSU on the side of his helmet and the money, that that would get him over the hump in some of these recruiting battles that he's lost at Ole Miss.
All right, Coach, check this
And
out. Let me give you LSU real quick. 2025, 7-4, 2024, 9-4, 2023, 10-3, 10-3, 2022, 21, 6-7, 20, 5-5, 19, Ogeron went 15-0, 18, 10-3, 9-4, 8-4, 9-3, 8-5. What is it so spectacular?
well, there's a national championship in that.
Yeah, Ogeron.
That Ed Ogeron won.
That they fired. They fired after he went 5-5 and 6-7, and they fired him. Well, he went 6-6, and they fired him. So, I'm just like I said, the fact that we, the fact that we, and like I said, I just want people to understand, it's not about him leaving. Is how. Just go, brother. Because like I said, I'm at a point now. Just go.
Yeah.
Go.
I mean, it wasn't a good look today on
Leave.
Twitter when he had his dog, who I didn't know could tweet.
Oh my God.
I didn't know dogs could tweet, but his dog tweeted that he wondered if he could stand on the sideline at the SEC championship game next week. I mean, it's just stuff like that. Like, read the room.
I'm sick of that, man. I'm just sick of that. And they let him, the public let him get away with this stuff.
And I
Because
do
why?
kind of agree with what DJ's saying. Like, and I mean, I'm shocked if he's not announced the head coach at LSU. I'll be shocked. But I
Well,
do think the longer this goes on, I do think that it's more likely he's the head coach at Ole Miss moving forward. Because my thing is, like, if you're going, why have you not announced it? Like, as soon as the clock hit zero in that Oklahoma LSU game, that should have been it. And I know that it all comes back to he wants to coach his team in the playoffs, but he's clearly been told he's not going to. So,
and anybody that tries to knock Keith Carter and the chancellor for saying no, you are a complete idiot. And that's what I'm telling you out of my mouth. You ain't got to say it ain't no misprint and I ain't gonna go back. And if you hey, and if you try to be Lane Kiffin and try to check me, you better be able to do something when you do it. But if you believe that he should be coaching after he take another job, you a complete idiot. And I said it. And I can hold up for it. And we'll talk about that in a second. And anyway, Mr. Tough Guy with a whole bunch of security. Now you want to talk about, but we'll get to that in a minute. It's boy, ooh, boy, boy, boy. Go ahead, coach. I'm sorry. I cut you off because, man, some things, some things.
no, you're good.
Yeah. I've
I'm
been
like
waiting for this for 3 days, man. And I doing this by yourself, I need somebody looking at me trying to calm me down, man. That's your job. You're doing a bad job now. All them
let
years to calm you down as a coach, and now you got a chance to calm me down, and you won't even.
no, man, I'm letting you go because you're carrying this thing. Because I try to keep up with the chat and I try to keep up with
Trying to
listening
look
to,
at both of them
I
doing
can't do all
something.
this at one
Hey, we
time.
appreciate it. We're sorry if we're not getting to everybody's question, but this stuff is popping so fast, and we're
Yeah.
trying. Coach is looking, and I'm looking, and we're getting into our spiel. But let's go into the, because we can bounce all around. It all revolves around one thing. It all revolves around, that's how he wanted it anyway. It's all revolving around him. How do you feel about him calling out Ben?
I mean, I would if I was Lane Kiffin, I probably would have done it too. As we're media now, bro, I'm
He
probably
picked the right one though. He picked the right one because certain people ain't finna allow you to just because and everybody ain't finna allow you to just and then you got all this security around. What happens if Ben bucks back at you? What you think was gonna happen to him?
It wouldn't have nothing happened to Lane because he had four state troopers standing around him. But
thank you. But you cannot be mad that this is what I used to tell people. I tell my church this all the time. I tell my church all the time. I said, if people are talking about things I've done in my past, now I can't be mad at people because I done it. I made the bed that I'm laying in. So even though I'm a changed man, if they still want to bring that up, I can't be mad at them. I can't get mad at them what they say because I did it. You brought this crap up on yourself to where people can, if you're not giving me no insight, then I can't do nothing but speculate. And I'm not going to stop my show to keep from not speculating.
Yeah, I mean, and if you go listen to what Ben said, put context to it. I mean, he wasn't specifically saying like,
didn't say
Lane,
it like
Lane Kiffin, you are a hoe. He was just saying
like you're, that the scenario is like turning
makes sense with the lyrics that's being being read.
He should have just did the Walmart version. You know, Walmart didn't have no cussing in their music. I didn't understand it. I didn't know that until I got older. I just thought I was getting a different CD. But he should have just said, "You can't bring in somebody that act a certain way." It's like this. I'm gonna stop cheating when we get married, and you marry them, and then you're mad that they cheat. Ole Miss, listen to me. You knew who Lane Kiffin was when you hired him. But you said it's important that we move to a different era, and we did. This is what you get when you get Lane. LSU, you are about to be. Oh, I can't wait to see y'all in 2 or 3 years. But
and can we just be real for a minute? Because I don't think anybody's really talked about this. If you go back to December 2019,
mm-hmm.
Did you really think Lane Kiffin was going to be here in the year 2025?
I didn't think. This is what I thought, Coach. I've never been a Lane guy. That's number one. And in part, you know, that has something to do with him being at Tennessee and for him to be on the opposite sideline at Alabama. I just didn't have, you know, that connection wasn't there. When he got here, Coach, this is what I really thought. I thought, this before, because I didn't know this NIL and all this stuff was going to blow up like this. In a normal setting, I thought he may get 7 wins, 8 wins, by 3 or 4 years, he's out. Because I was still looking at the normal landscape that we grew up under. I didn't have no, this transfer portal and NIL changed the game. And even if somebody thought he wasn't staying, why toy with it? Leave then. Just leave. Houston Nut, we got mad at Houston Nut. Fan base was mad at Houston Nut because every time the season was over with, Houston Nut was lobbying for another job. We got mad at Houston Nut. And then he messed around, didn't have no good years. And then he ended up losing the job on his own. And then he won't sue us.
Well, I'm just saying, like, just think if you go back, what last year's team, what was the mantra of that team? What was the terms they used? They called it the last dance. And they had a roster that I think was built to win a national championship. Put 8 guys in the NFL. Well, more than that, but I think it was 8 draft picks and then, you know, a bunch of free agents and stuff. I just kind of wonder if we've seen him do – he did how many podcasts this summer? Right before the season. 2 or 3 different big-time podcasts. He has the documentary come out. I just kind of wonder if he polished himself up. Like, that was the run at Ole Miss. This is – and then this was also going to be a rebuild year for Ole Miss. So, I don't believe he thought this team was going to be 11-1. If you asked him in the preseason, I don't think he would have thought that. And it was going to be an easy exit after an 8-4 season. And now it's not because these guys ended up like, oh, crap, we're 11-1. Here we are. So I'm just kind of wondering, like, that's what I go back to. Like, no one thought he was going to be here 5, 6 years in December of 2019. So,
So in that
and
context.
I really like, because user whatever says setting up to be a goat 30 for 30 one day. I really hope, like, I would really want to know back in something happened around the Georgia game that I don't think we know. I don't think there's too much out there about it. It's kind of gotten us to this point. And I would really like to, I think there's information out there we don't know that's led us to the point that we're at. But I think this has been coming. Like, if you just look at, if you kind of look at the last, I would say from July of 2024 to right now, the writing's kind of on the wall if you really go back and look at everything.
Go check November the 24th, 2022. I had already talked about it. But even in that case right there, even if all of that is true, even if I hired you and I expected you to leave, even if all of that is true, there is a way to go about it. And this is not the way. Holding teams hostage and acting like that this whole thing revolves around you. It goes back to my point, coach. I'm not mad that he's leaving. I'm probably in the lower percentage that don't want him back. I'm the minority in this. I don't want him back.
I don't know, Coach. For podcast reasons, it is pretty fun.
It's a good, I'm gonna talk about him where he go. I'm gonna talk about him. If he had LSU, I'm gonna talk about him. But every time they lose a game, man, it'll be the whole show. I said, uh-huh. So it's not the fact that he is going to leave. I always thought Ogeron, if Ogeron would have had some success, Ogeron's dream job was USC. I thought it, you know. So even getting Lane Kiffin and thinking, okay, he's not gonna be here long anyway. There's still a way to do it, coach.
Oh yeah, I agree.
This is not the way to do it. My anger is what he got going on and how he's doing it. That for 3 days, no, not for 3 days, for 2 weeks, have you heard any, do anybody even know that our running back is a finalist in the Doak Walker Award? No. Do anybody even know why our freaking quarterback ain't in the Heisman conversation? No. Do anybody know any of that stuff? No, because it's all about him. The players have not got no recognition. The players ain't got no nothing. Everything is about Lane Kiffin. He totally consumed everything. That's the problem I have. And that's why this part, and is the main reason I don't want him back. Because if he stay, coach, next year or the next year, we'll be right back in the same situation.
Yeah, I think it's oh yeah, I mean I think you're definitely gonna deal with this at least every other year, right?
Yeah.
Now I do think the thing that I have the biggest problem with is, like, yesterday in his press conference got asked, because the committee, and I don't think it's gonna happen, but the committee, Hunter Yurcheck, came out and said that if something happens, we gotta have data points. There's a chance, you know. Everybody's concerned that Ole Miss won't host a playoff game.
And it shouldn't even be
And
an 11 point.
he gets asked, you know, I think Brad Logan's the one that asked, like, hey, or pretty much was saying, like, hey, I want to ask you a question to politic for your team to make sure that you state your case that this team should host a playoff game. And he just kind of dodged it. I mean, he did come back and say that he didn't believe that it should have to be politic. This team has done enough that they should absolutely be a host team, which is factual. They should be a host team. But the bye week and last week, you had the chance to just politic your team all throughout the media, and you didn't do any of it. Didn't do any of it. You know, and Pat McAfee is the only one on College Game Day that made any sense today.
He
And he goes
must
and
not be
does the
alone.
Pat McAfee show during the bye week, and none of that was, you know, I thought that was the best opportunity. You're in front of the national media. You're going to have a chance to bring players in and talk to. And it was just, I mean, the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So I agree with you and the Ole Miss fans that that's got to be, I mean, that's probably the most frustrating part about all of it.
And this man, this is just and like I said, I keep seeing the Saban thing, and man, I wish I could just like, dude, are you serious? I wish somebody would ask him, well, why did you do it? Why did you fire him? Why did you let him go right before the national championship game? Why did you do it? And you telling Ole Miss they should, oh, don't worry about it. Just keep him on there. So it's just it's amazing how this whole thing has came about, and to be where we at right now, and not even talk about the players. And you know, we could say it's partly our fault too, but hey, we you know, right now the players ain't the one popping, and that's on the coach. Because if you're promoting your players, if we're not talking about you, we're talking about your team.
Yeah, I
If we're
mean,
not talking about your situation, we are talking about your team.
Mark Lee just signed his 6-year deal, and my only focus will be on, hey, this guy's committed to Vanderbilt, and
Yeah.
we're gonna, and now all he has to do with their win today, all he has to do is try to present a case every time he's in front of a camera that Vanderbilt should jump ahead of Miami, BYU, so on and so forth, and get into the college football playoff because we've done this. And you know, I don't. I kind of agree with Kiffin. Like, I think Ole Miss should be a lot. I think Ole Miss should be the five, honestly. But there's a chance that they're not going to be because of all this surrounding
Because of you,
the program.
because of you, that's so now everything, this whole, you know, even if you was going to leave, if you'd have went ahead and just left and give us a chance to present our case to the committee, like, hey, we got something stable here. You know, Joe Judge, he's been a successful college coach. We got this assistant still here. We got something stable here.
And that's why, and that goes back to why Ole Miss and just, you know, trust Keith Carter, but he's backed into a corner is because, say, what's the, you got a live update on the Auburn Alabama score?
It is
Because I do not.
17-6.
17-6. Just say that Lane Kiffin decides to move on today. Auburn upsets Alabama. Ole Miss is in the SEC championship game against Georgia next week. Say they get beat. The committee now has a data point that's negative. You have lost a game with your interim coach that could keep you from a hosting situation. So now you're in a corner where, hey, we kind of need Lane to stay around. We kind of need to move this back another week because that's not a data point that could be taken into account if we lose the SEC championship game. And I think that's why this decision. I think it's coming after the. I think we're going to know something or hear an update from people, national people, whoever, once this game's over with. Not saying that we'll have our answer today, but I think there'll be an update. But I think until that happens, they're just kind of stuck. And if there's stuff coming out, I have my phone on a TikTok live
Yeah.
and computer in front of me. So go ahead, Coach.
I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. I got Twitter on everything but this laptop, and I don't know what my freaking password is. So I can't pull it up, right?
Hang
I should have
on.
brought. I should have brought.
Will the camera stay on me if I can you still see me?
Yeah, long as you don't share it.
Okay.
But yes, that is the thing, people, and everybody that like I said, and I'm glad that this is going on at a point to where I can prove that, you know, this ain't no spur of the moment thing with me, because I foreshadowed this even after the hire. I said this, I'm not sure about this. And in 2022, I stamped on it. I said this is gonna be a problem. And here, lo and behold, where we at right now? We with a problem. See if I can get.
I'm not seeing anything that it just a bunch of stuff saying that he's trending, which I'm not.
I'm scared to leave the live. I can find some stuff out if I get on my phone, but I'm not trying to leave the live.
He's Thanos. This is great to him. He got on his dog's account and posted. This is not, I'm telling you, this is not affecting Lane Kiffin at all. He is loving it.
Hang on.
He is loving it. And all I hope is he can hold up to all of this stuff that he's building up, because if he don't win a national championship somewhere after he leave, then he gonna mess around and be Houston nut. And that's not far-fetched. If he do not win a national championship after he leaves here, then he will be Houston nutted. How much are we talking about Houston nut now? As innovative as he, because think about it, the whole Wildcat, the Wild Hog, that come from Houston nut. Did y'all forget?
LSU a ton of trouble back in them days too.
Yeah, did we forget about how innovative Houston nut is? Man, look what he's doing. He got the running back playing quarterback, and man, and boy, we got the Wild Rebel. Oh my gosh. But then he lost in the sunset. Don't nobody talk about Houston nut no more. Even in Arkansas, they ain't talking about Houston nut no more. If Lane Kiffin, mark my word, when he leaves Ole Miss, and it's national championship a bust for him, if he don't win a championship, he will be seen in the same light, and he'll just be another coach. And that legacy won't be there. So now you gotta win a national championship. Because making the playoffs ain't gonna be enough.
Yeah, Coach, everything I'm saying is just pointing to we're not getting an answer tonight.
And you know what, Coach? This don't surprise me. It does not surprise me. I knew he's going to drag this out. He won't. This is what he wants. He wants this. Why a stupid team lost?
I think it's continuing to try to get them, I guess, leverage to coach in the college football playoff.
He don't have no leverage.
The only way he's going to do that is if he's the coach. So, I mean, at some point, if you're going to put his feet to the fire, you're getting into the situation where you're threatening to fire him, and in that case, you owe him $36.6 million. So
okay, somebody write the check so we can move on. Somebody write the check so we can move on, because you are penalizing your team. You're penalizing your school, because here's the thing. You're supposed to represent Ole Miss. That's what you're Ole Miss. We're not, it ain't we are Lane Kiffin. It's we are Ole Miss. And if he want to drag this thing out, then dadgummit, one of you rich jokers, write him the check and let him be on his merry way so we can move on.
Because he's been, you know, as someone said.
Had plenty of time.
Someone said if he quits on Ole Miss, then he quits on the playoffs. And that's one thing I can say. They've trained.
He's already quit.
But from a PR standpoint, from what he's saying out of his mouth, he is not. I thought yesterday was very on message. Like, hey, you know, I'm saying I'm quitting without saying it. So there's nothing there. It's just like I feel like at every corner that you think, if you think Ole Miss is getting ahead, it's just becoming a.
Well, let's talk about the next head coach. I'm done with Lane. Next head coach, because our time frame is being limited right now. This is why we need to go and make the freaking move. This is why we need to make the move before we end up with Billy Jack Johnson as the coach.
Yeah, because I think that you're getting into a situation where you need to know something. You know, we said it earlier. I guess if we wanted to pivot. We're getting asked, who do you hire as the next coach? I think this is a done deal. Who do you go after and how quickly? So if we wanted to move there, we could. You know,
I think that the number one contender for them or candidate was John Summerall.
It was.
And timing is not going to work out there. Nope. I think he'll be the coach at Florida. And that's the Tulane coach. Then I would probably point to Alex Golesh, who I think is getting a lot of attention in that building as far as reaching out to. A lot of people think he's going to Arkansas, but I've been hearing Kane Womack is starting to catch a lot of traction at Arkansas, so that would leave.
Boy, DJ, that's some wishful thinking, man. I feel the same way you do. Coach, we got the first playoff game is December the 31st. The next one is January the 1st. So that's roughly.
December 19th and 20th is the first round. The 31st and the 1st is quarterfinal. Which, if things play out, if these top teams keep losing, like you saw Texas A&M lose, if depending on what happens in these conference championship games and how the committee views a loss in the conference championship game, there's kind of a chance that you could be in a quarter. You might not even have a home playoff game anyway. You could slip into a four spot if, you know, I don't know how they're going to treat who loses the Big Ten and how they're going to treat who loses the SEC. Because if Alabama wins the SEC, I don't believe that they're going to host, and that's going to bump somebody out. I think there's a chance you can move up, but for the sake of the conversation, especially on a short timetable, the 19th and the 20th, or the 20th and 21st is the first round of the playoffs.
So, that's roughly two and a half, week three. You definitely have to give somebody in-house because you can't bring in somebody new. But it would benefit to have when there was a situation where we done it. Was that Houston Nutt that came in while the interim was there? Was it Nutt?
That came to Ole Miss?
It was somebody that came while we had the interim, but they didn't coach the bowl game.
I thought that was Cutcliffe.
Okay. Well, Cutcliffe, he did coach the bowl game. Tuberville was gone.
Oh, he did.
We had an interim.
I don't know that it coached the bowl game. I don't know that in my lifetime. Matt Luke. But no, that wouldn't be correct either.
And it's something I'm going to have to go back. Or maybe we wasn't in bowl contention. Maybe he was just here early. But I feel like now, because you got to get somebody in-house to be an interim right now. But I think even in the interim field, you need to go ahead and hire your coach. That your coach may not coach, but I think they need to be on staff. They need to be here.
The interim needs – or your next coach needs to go ahead and be here?
I think – You have to get them next week. You can't if you don't get a coach. You don't get a coach next week. You got to go with Joe Judge.
My understanding is that if Lane Kiffin decided, like say Lane Kiffin decided right now I'm out, that they would announce the next head coach in the next 5 days. That behind the scenes they're down the road with some people. They just
That you say you love these kids so much that you're willing to put them in a bind. Because of you, when you do, I'm sick of this. He don't know what he want. He know what he want.
Oh yeah. Well, he wants two things. He wants to be the head coach at LSU.
He wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. All of this bull crap. He don't know what. Yeah, you know what you want. I'm sick of that, Lane Kiffin. You know what the heck you want. You want to coach Ole Miss in the playoffs and still be LSU coach. That's what you want.
But, yeah, I think Joe Judge would be the interim. Whoever they hire is not coaching a game at Ole Miss till the fall of 2026.
Because when you're on a run like this, you can't make a drastic change like that. You got to have somebody in-house, and you got to incentivize your assistants to say, hey, let's make this run. Joe Judge, let's go. Hey, this will be good for you. This will be good for you. Let's make this ride. I can tell you right now, one guy that ain't going with Lane, I would be shocked if he did, much as he unthrew Pete Golden under the bus, Pete Golden probably saying, you know what, good riddance, buddy. You can go.
I think whoever they hire will have a great chance to retain Pete Golden. I think that Charlie Weiss Jr. is probably out the door. Charlie Weiss Jr. might get considered for, like, once these jobs fill up and these group of five coaches come up, there could be a chance he gets a group of five chance if he wants that.
Do Pete want the job?
I don't know that for sure. So I can't say yes or no. I just don't know if they're going to hire from within. I think they're going to try to recreate some stuff they did back in 2019. You know, they went and made a splash hire. They're not going to make a splash hire this time, but they're going to make a hire that I think from a PR standpoint, because I just think it looks bad that you had arguably a top, I mean, he might be the top offensive mind in college football, and he walks out the door, and then you just hire, I think you, but Coach, you are going to look like little Ole Miss if you just promote from within. I think from a PR standpoint, they're not going back. They believe they can go spend money on getting a coach.
Coach, I was actually
trying to do that.
I was just asking the question that I saw. Pete Golden being the head coach, I don't think Bama is not firing a coach. I'm sorry. Now, if he leaves, I think he'll leave. But Bama's not firing a coach.
And I'm hearing that there's not a whole lot of, like, I've heard people that know are around DeBoer, his camp. It's like there's something to the Penn State thing. Like, he would leave, that this is crazy. But I don't think there's a lot there.
And that, to me, that's crazy. You go from, being all the way in the running and to being fourth, fifth, sixth tier in the Big Ten. He's staying there. But I would, man, I'm telling you, Colton, I would love Lincoln Riley. Man, if they could get him, or Coach, I'm with your pick, or, man, I went brain dead. I see Cliff Kingsbury. Them two, I would love to see that work, but I don't think
they're even on the board for them. They're not even on the list. I don't. Well, I think
Coach,
that
would you
I
call
believe,
somebody and tell them to put them on the board?
Well, I believe that they reached out. I believe they've talked to Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln Riley said no. I don't know anything about Cliff, but.
Well, I mean, his offense ain't really working in Washington right now.
Yeah.
He's probably out this year as the offensive coordinator, if not before the season over with.
And I'm telling you, everybody keeps saying Summerall, and I think Summerall has an offer that he cannot, because this appears like they just ended a meeting with no resolution. If somebody has offered you a job with guaranteed, like he's probably making $2 million a year at Tulane, he's probably at a minimum going to make $7.5 next year in the SEC.
Man, let me check.
He cannot wait around when he has an offer. And that's the problem you're going to get in with John Summerall, is he's way down the road with Florida, and he's apparently was way down the road with Auburn, and then Auburn tried to do some negotiating stuff behind the scenes that he didn't know about, or apparently. And I think he told Auburn no, but apparently he's way down the road with Florida. That's money that you cannot – like, you can't sit here and say, well, I'm going to wait around and see what happens with Ole Miss, and then all of a sudden – you don't get the Ole Miss job, and you don't have a chance to get the Florida job. So I think from a timing standpoint, the Summerall thing, that's done. I don't think he will not be the coach at Ole Miss next year.
I think he's might be making $2.4 million a year. Let me ask you something. Do you think, because I can see this with the way he's already playing out this thing and how he's making everything about him, he don't want nobody else to come in and win this. So, yeah, he's going to drag this out.
No, it kind of – I mean, he doesn't want nobody else to, because he wants to. Like, this is why we have no resolution, is because Ole Miss is holding firm on the fact that you are not coaching in the playoffs unless you sign
an extension. And they better hold firm 100%, because I will boycott Ole Miss. I know it don't mean nothing to nobody. I'd be like, you ain't number one fan. Okay, I bet if I'm thinking that way, it's going to be some people that got some money that's thinking that way too. But if they sit here and let him agree to be somewhere else, and then they let him coach, then Ole Miss, they ain't got to worry about seeing me no more.
I think if they would have said, you know what, we're a little Ole Miss, yes, you can coach this thing out, he probably would have done made his announcement that he was gone. Clark Lee signed a 6-year deal yesterday.
That's a
Vanderbilt. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not. He understands where he at. He can be a legend, and he wasn't using Vandy to be a stepping stone. Yeah. Other coaches starting to look a whole lot better than Lane Kiffin right now.
And then April says,
he's really damaging his legacy.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Because you didn't have – your legacy was this right here.
You
came to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss boosted you. That's why I'm – you ain't finna keep on saying you boosted Ole Miss. Ole Miss boosted you, and they thought they was pulling you from what your legacy was, and now you right back to what your legacy is.
Yeah, I mean, if you take the fan glasses off, take the Ole Miss fan glasses off, take the LSU fan glasses off, take Auburn, Florida, whoever that thinks they're involved with getting Lane Kiffin, I mean, this is a decision that – this is it. Like, if your decision's to leave and it doesn't work, it's over. If your decision is to stay, then you've got a chance to build a legacy. Have the stadium would be named Vault Hemingway Stadium, Jerry Hollingsworth, and Lane Kiffin Field.
Yeah, he unblew that. He unblew that.
And
we ain't going to name the bathroom.
Ole Miss kind of the girl that picked you up when you were down, put you back together,
cleaned you up.
You found. She said, "Hey, we're going running every day, and we're gonna get in shape, get healthy. We're gonna
devote
our time to."
That's the narrative that's been left out.
Everybody, I mean, that man has aged backwards 10 years. Like, he looks 10 years younger than the day he did when he got there.
But everybody got this. He built Ole Miss up. No, Ole Miss unbuilt him up. That's what unhappened. And you can't tell me no different, because you tell me what Lane Kiffin did before he got to Ole Miss. What did he do before he got here?
Well, I mean, if we're being honest.
God darn it, Auburn. Auburn just scored, coach.
I'm telling you, I told some of my buddies last night.
No, never mind. It's a flag. It's coming back.
I told some of my buddies last night it's like God wants Lane Kiffin to stay. You saw the Texas. I was like, they just want this to drag out as long as it can. The stars are aligning for us to have another week of this.
Flag against Alabama.
So it's a touchdown.
I'm going to make it 17-12. And if they go for two, they got a chance to bring it to to a 3-point lead. Wow. I don't need this right now, coach. I don't need this.
I kind of hope Ole Miss makes it. That would be the stamp.
DJ, I said dang because I thought it was called back, but it looked like it's going to stand. 64-yard touchdown, Malcolm Simmons.
This would be the stamp that one thing Ole Miss fans would no longer have to hear is how they've never been to an SEC championship game. So
yeah, we've never been there, but this ain't the year to go.
That makes perfect sense that it'll be the year to go.
It's be perfect. Now we got to win the thing to keep from being on the road. So, I mean, it's just, man, you know, like I said, Ole Miss, like you said, clean Lane's legacy got clean. He got sterilized at Ole Miss. And this notion that he's the only reason that we're on a national level, and I'm going to always bring up what Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss, whether they like Hugh Freeze or not, because Hugh Freeze put us on a national level. That's who put us on a national level. That's when everybody started talking about us on the national level. That's when we started being on ESPN every night. That's when it happened. But two things can be true. Like you said, he was ahead of the NIL game, and them two fused together and created. Hold on, DJ just made a good point, Coach. Alabama loses this game, they're out.
Well, unless they win, Coach, they're out. They'd be out of the conference championship game.
If they lose this game,
this is an elimination game.
They are out.
Yeah.
I'm with you. You can't see what Easton on Facebook. Easton, that's what we're saying. That's what we're trying to get people to understand, is that the focus have been solely on Lane and not the players. And why did they kick a field goal and not go for two? Oh, Auburn, y'all make my stomach hurt sometimes.
DJ Durkin coaching for that job full time next year.
Well, I need him to. You need to be going for the win. You got a chance to win the Iron Bowl.
It's my understanding that he has a great shot at, like, he might be the betting favorite right now.
Coach, if he win this game, he's
the head coach. Yeah, to be. Hell, they almost hired Cadillac Williams a couple years ago as an interim.
And they should have. They should have. I don't think they want to make that same mistake.
You don't want to do that, Coach. Like, you're going to give that man is a legacy man. They'll never love him more than he was as a player if it didn't work out as a coach. The fan base will never love you as much as you love that place. It would have ruined. I'm glad that.
But that's your Matt Luke is the example.
Yep.
Matt Luke was a legacy. He was a legacy Ole Miss guy and played family. Crap, his brother is still here.
Yeah.
His brother's still on the staff.
Yep.
And still. So it's just, man, college football is weird right now. And Auburn have picked up their defense and they are popping right now. And Alabama got a big third down. This is some funky stuff going on tonight. It is weird. This game is a weird game. It's a weird game. But, Coach,
here's a weird place at night.
Well, outside of that, you know, college football, I thought Michigan was up for the task, and they wasn't. Ohio State looked like a fine oil machine. And now, on a neutral field, I do believe Ohio State is, they're beatable. But up there, and somebody made a point, and I kind of slick agree with them. They said with these playoff games, predominantly located in the South.
Yeah.
But it ain't our fault that it's snowing up there, y'all. We can't have a bowl game in the snow.
Because what's the orange, peach, cotton, sugar? They're all in the South.
I mean, we can use Detroit. They got a dome. You got Minnesota. They got a dome. Who else got a dome up north? Nobody. Them the only two. Freaking Buffalo Bills building a stadium
without a roof on it.
So it's not our fault, guys. It is what it is. The Chick-fil-A ain't trying to sponsor no game where it's 10 degrees outside. They're not.
Nah, they want to be in these nice brand new. They want to be part of these nice brand new stadiums, and that, you know, Mercedes-Benz is pretty flashy.
Yeah. You
slap your logo all over.
Billy Jack barbecue sauce ain't trying to be. Well, Billy Jack barbecue sauce probably wouldn't mind being there, but these big companies ain't trying to be up north when it's 12 degrees. I mean, didn't you see the Big Ten games today? I bet you couldn't see the field.
Yeah,
they were all under
Michigan
snow.
State. Michigan and Ohio State at 6:15 kickoff would have been.
You
wouldn't have been able to see the ground. It'd have been perfect to go sit on the couch and watch.
Well, Coach, I mean, we did have some. We do have our state championship game set. Last night was a decent night of football. I went. You know, my son is. You play with Cowan City, and what we said back in August is the game we're getting. We said it was going to be Cowan City and Hollandale Simmons for the 1A state championship, And that is exactly what we got. Our guy, the governor, I was reading his post today. He's already been, hey, coach, he already only been watching film on Simmons. He did say Simmons got a tough defense and they have a running game, but he is standing on it. He said Cal City will win by 2 touchdowns. I watched the first 3 quarters, coach, in that 4th quarter. Man, when my toes got to freezing up and my son got that pick six, and when he took it on in, I called my wife. I said, well, I'm finna go warm up the car because it is freezing out here, brother, man. When I say it was freezing, I went in the 4th quarter and I didn't come back out. I said, no, I don't know because I got older, but I'm not built for that type of weather anymore. And I said, no, I'm going to stay where I'm at. But Cal City did defeat. I'm telling you, after the first 2 touchdowns, you could see it in the eyes of Biggersville. I couldn't see through their helmet, but you can look at their body language. They knew they were done, and they showed that they were done, and that was a wrap. But I do believe I'm with the governor, and as a Bruce Trojan, and it pains for me to say this,
they're gonna raise another gold ball.
The Cal City Wildcats will win their 3rd state championship on Thursday at 4 o'clock. I don't see around it. I don't see Simmons. Cal City just have too many freaking weapons, and their defense is freaking incredible. And it's gonna be hard for anybody to beat them. And I just feel like but I just want to go over the championship game. You got on Thursday, you got Cal City 12-1. Facing off with undefeated Hollidale Simmons at 4 o'clock. And at 7:30, man, if it wasn't freezing, I would love to stay for West Point and Brookhaven, old Brook. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be 40 degrees. And I'll watch it on the NFHS website because I got an account. So I just watch it then. But West Point, you might as well wrap it up in green and white because I think they will be winning another championship.
How many is that last?
Oh, shoot. And enough to make me jealous.
Yeah.
Why I can't never win one. Did I say that out loud? Man, it'd be nice to be down there one time. You got Kosciuszko going against Columbia that'll be on Friday. And then you got Warren Central facing off with Hattiesburg. Chris Ford said it'd be number 15.
That's what I thought. I thought it was.
That is ridiculous, man.
They've won 14, and this will be championship 15.
Which is the better? What is the better legacy? The South Panola run or this West Point run?
Ooh. Well, I mean, we're currently. You probably would have to go West Point because we're currently still in it. Like, it's not closed yet. There's a lot to be.
Yeah, but South Panola had.
They did win what? 89. They had the national championship. Won what? How many in a row? Consecutive 89.
I might lean
South Panola. Is that national championship is
national championship was on ESPN. We haven't saw West Point, even though they probably should be. Because
they had a game. South Panola had the game with Hoover on ESPN.
Hold on, DJ Scott. Wait a minute, my friend. Hold on just a second. I don't know if you saw Heidelberg play, but East Webster's in for a rude awakening. Because that is a machine. In Heidelberg, I feel like Heidelberg is winning that state championship. East Webster will face off with Heidelberg on Saturday. I'll be back home. We got a game that day, so we got it that morning. We get our game out the way. We can get on back and watch the game. And you got Noxubee County facing off with Raleigh. Yeah, I'm with you. South Panola, they.
That's a good point.
Hey, South Panola was too close to Memphis, man. What you expect? It was too close to that area. They had people, and they was creating. They was creating places for them. They made up houses and land.
A lot of jobs were created in.
Yeah, a lot of. We got a job for you at Batesville Tool and Die that's been closed for 13 years, but we'll open it back up for you because we need your son that's 6'3" and run a 4.240. And at the time, probably had a 2.1 GPA. But anyway, They won championships. Hey, you know what? I roomed with a guy one time, Coach, that was coaching there, and I asked him because, man, I was jealous. You know, we was at an FCA camp in Jackson, and I went to him, I said, man, I bet that was amazing. Coach, he looked at me and he just the stress in his eyes. He said, "If you only knew what we had to go through." He said, I can't wait to leave. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, dude, are you crazy? You winning state championship. Your floor is going to the state championship. That's the floor.
Right.
And you want to get out of that, but you know, like I said, all money ain't good money. And I get it, but it'd have been nice to have some of that money. Crap, man. I just wanted to be just let me be on the sideline, man. Shoot, we ain't been there since 96, man. Y'all blew it. Thanks a lot, Coach Benji.
My bad.
And the 2012 Trojans. Appreciate it. Couldn't stop Derrick Jones. All you had to do was tackle
him. We could not stop him.
All you had to do was tackle him, Coach. That's all you had to do. Tackle a man.
I don't know, though, as good as he was going and playing the Moore Twins at Bassfield.
Oh, man, y'all would have tackled them boys, man.
It'd have been fun.
No, it wouldn't. They'd have beat us like we stole something.
They were beating everybody. I think they beat you poor.
Yeah. And then that next year, Cal City went down, and them boys looked like they were grown men. Anytime you walk out there and you look like you're a bodybuilder, you ain't supposed to be in high school. I need you drug tested at that point. But this ain't right. But, Coach, I think, you know, we had the air raid, you know, the air raid. You had the air raid, man. You had Davis Brown.
We were airing it out.
Yeah, you were airing it out. But you couldn't get me to Jackson. Thanks a lot, buddy. I got mad over that. All because of you. Somehow I feel like this is your fault. You was on the team.
All right, time out. Back on track. Where are we going with this? Who's next?
I got mad thinking about that. Man, that was our chance to go to Jackson, man. We ain't been since 96. Man. And I can blame Coach DeMaul for 99. Oh, man, it'll be nice. But, man, to see these teams always going down there, man, I bet it's a joy. Well, Coach, looking at the college school board, man, you got just run through some scores right now in the top 25. You got Virginia beating Virginia Tech like a drum. Franklin, boy, you got a lot of work you got to do, son. You got Alabama. Well, Alabama's up 20-13. You got USC is leading UCLA 14-10. You got Tulane 24-0 versus Charlotte. California is beating SMU 24-7. We got to wait till 9:30. To watch Stanford upset Notre Dame tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to watching it. I believe in Stanford, man. I mean, hey. Oh, man. I believe in Stanford, man. You're smart enough to get it done. Be smart, get it done. Ohio State beat Michigan today 27-9. Texas Tech beat West Virginia 49-0. You got Oregon beating Washington 26-14. Oklahoma beat LSU 17-13. You got me excited about UCF, and then they went ahead and decided not to do nothing else the rest of the game.
They did not do the Lord's work.
Oh man, they just they repent, they backslide. That's what they did. They got Sunday in, and then they went back to living their
own. And they were up 21-7 in that game. It was either 21-0.
It's 14-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah. And
then it got
snowballed.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Central Florida. BYU beat them. Well, you're going to lose Texas Tech anyway. So 41-21. Miami. Now, this is the situation that that they do not want to happen. The committee going to have to make a decision, Coach. Because when Texas Tech beat BYU again, they're going to be faced with, is it Miami in or is it Notre Dame in?
I think it's Notre Dame.
Miami beat Notre Dame head to head.
But I think they all but said it last Tuesday night that it, and they said it like if, I mean, it was pretty much phrased that if Notre Dame and Miami played right now, the committee believes Notre Dame would beat them. I get all the head-to-head stuff.
Man.
But the committee is clearly not valuing that head-to-head. The two conference losses that...
It's just they love Notre Dame so much. It's just Notre Dame. Notre Dame could be, let's see, UCF 5-7. Notre Dame could be 5-7, coach, and they'll be number 12 in the rankings. Because we know once they win this game, no, let's say they 5-6 and they play in Stanford, they'll just be, just win the game. Get to 6-6. We'll get you in. We promise you. We'll get you in. Vandy took Tennessee to the woodshed. Oh, man, where are my Tennessee fans at? Well, they say, where them fans? Where the Tennessee fans at? Boy, y'all got beat like a drum by Vandy. Ooh, I'm glad Vandy wasn't on
our
team.
Vandy looks good. The last 3 weeks, man,
I'm so glad.
They scoring points.
Man, 45-24. Oh, man. It will be, man, Man, Sankey, you got to lobby for Vandy to be in this playoff picture, man. It's a travesty if Vandy's not in this playoff.
Yeah, I think they'll do some lobbying. I'm just kind of worried that if you're going to find a way to get Miami in, and if you're going to find a way to get BYU in, how are you going to get – who are you dropping out? Because my thing is, like, if Bama don't lose tonight
– BYU lose the championship, they are out. They should not be in.
I mean, I agree, but it looked like they were trying to figure out a way. Like, I thought they're positioned to where they're going to try to find a way to get them in. Like, they're hoping that they can find a way to get them in.
Well, they need to unfigure it out.
Where, like, who wins the ACC? Where are you going to put them in at? Because right now, that game.
They could be number 13. Not in, because I don't want to see nobody in the ACC.
You really need, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're really pulling for Stanford tonight.
Stafford is going to win, coach. I feel it. I feel it, man.
I hope you're right. I just don't know about that.
It's probably my stomach hurting. let's see. Indiana and Ohio State, Big Ten championship. Who wins that?
I'm kind of curious. I need to think about it, but I would, if you made me right now, you think Indiana can get them?
You think Indiana put up a lot?
I think Indiana can get them. They can score.
Yeah, they can score.
And I know that Ohio State has a really good defense. I enjoy watching them. I think at times you see what Ohio State's going to be in a couple years offensively, because I do think their quarterback's going to be really good. He's still young. I don't think they're there yet. I mean, he threw a ball right to Michigan's problem was that they couldn't score. I think if Michigan had an ability to score points, they could.
I think the quarterback is. I mean,
you don't think he's it?
Nah. Not to take them to that next level. I don't think he is.
But I probably lean Indiana. I think they can score enough, and they're good enough defensively that they could get. And this would probably – would this be the biggest – I mean, this would obviously be the biggest test. Because Ohio State didn't play Oregon this year, right?
No.
So, yeah, this would be the biggest test Ohio State's faced. Hell, today against Michigan might have been the biggest test Ohio State's faced this year.
Yeah, and they fared very well, and that was at Michigan. So, with those two, they're both still top four no matter what, right?
I would think so. They're both
Or will they penalize? I don't think Ohio State drops out of the top four if they lose. I can see Indiana dropping out if they lose.
Yeah. Maybe you would move Indiana from two to the four.
Or let me ask you this.
I just don't know.
If it's based off of how bad you lose the game.
Yeah, that would be my thing. Like, what does the game – I'd have to know what the game looks like to know how far they fall. Because I do think there's a case like – now, if you say – Alabama finishes this game off and they beat Georgia again in the SEC championship game. Do you move them into a top four, or
where how far does Georgia fall for losing that game? Like, that's where, if I think there's going to be movement, I think that's where the movement's going to be interesting. Because I do think if Texas Tech wins the Big 12, they're going to move. They're going to be in the top four.
I think,
and they're going to win it.
With A&M losing, that took the SEC out of getting two in the top four.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
If A&M would have won,
unless somehow Lane Kiffin signs an extension and goes in politics for his team, and then they are like, "Hey, you know what? We are kind of stupid for putting Ole Miss down at seven this week."
You sure don't know how to miss.
You asked for ways to get two in the top four.
I feel like it ain't coming from that end, though. I just feel like if with A&M losing, I think the SEC champion will get that one of them top four seeds, and I think the loser will get the host. Even though they was unless they host? Do Alabama still? Let's Alabama gets to the championship game, loses to Georgia. Do Alabama still host?
Why is it right?
They shouldn't be penalized for the championship game, but you still will have three losses.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is we only have a year sample size of this. And last year, conference championship losers didn't get penalized. But how many did we see?
That was 9-2.
Yeah, are going to be, I guess they would be 10-3 when they lost that game.
10-3. Georgia, if they lose the championship game, will be 11-2.
11-2. And that's where I think, like,
both losses would have been to Alabama.
Yeah. Now, that gets weird. Like, how would they view you losing to a team that's in the field twice already? How does that, like, do they take that into account? There's a lot of, it's the fact that you got a bunch of humans judging this thing. This guy, they can say they don't, but they got biases and stuff. That's where it gets weird.
DJ, the crazy thing about that, and I heard the announcers talk about that yesterday, was talking like if we get to the SEC championship and lose, there's a possibility that we hit the road, which was crazy to hear that, you know, you talking about an Ole Miss team that would have been 11-1 going into a championship game. Win or lose, they should have been, well, win, you would probably, you know, you've been a top four seed. But even a loss shouldn't have dropped Ole Miss from.
Well, yeah, they're talking about if, say, Ole Miss has an interim and they lose the SEC championship game, it could be kind of like go back to the 14 playoff when Jordan Travis got injured with the Florida State deal. And they, you know, if there was a 12-team playoff, Florida State would have still been in the playoff, but they'd have probably been on the road. And I think they're going to try to make this narrative that you could move Ole Miss down and out because you'll have a data point against them because they're 0-1 with their interim head coach. Whether that's fair or not, it seems like they're going to try to make that a story or a narrative.
Well, and ain't it weird? It's weird that you see them trying to lobby for Texas. And Texas, I think we set the precedent, even though our losses were different than their wins. You know, they beat some top. And I think in that situation, they have an argument. We lost to Kentucky. We lost to Florida.
Well, yeah, when you go, like, if you want to compare the 9-3 teams last year, because you had Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina, and then you talk about, like, Texas this year. Last year, you could go to Ole Miss had an inexcusable loss to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And this year, you shouldn't have lost to Florida. If you're Texas, you couldn't lose to Florida.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's what got you.
Florida loss is your backbreaker.
Now, I do agree with him. I do agree with Sark. Like, we went on the road and played the number one team in the country that's 12-0, and we're getting penalized for it because if we don't play that game and we go play whoever, that's name a school from the FCS, and they go do that, then they're 10-2 and they're in. So, I mean, I get the argument. That's why there'll be a 16-team playoff sooner and later, and they'll be in.
Until they do that, quit playing those teams.
Yeah.
Quit yourself. Quit putting yourself in. Play them teams in the playoffs. Don't waste your shot playing Ohio State, playing all these teams in the regular season. Play them in the playoffs, because if you lose the game, then it's going to hurt you in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's why
you got enough to deal with in the SEC.
I think that's why they didn't get buried as bad. Like, I think they got rewarded because they were still hanging around after that Florida loss to where they could climb their way back into it. And technically, I guess, they got as high as 11. So that's how you got rewarded for losing to Ohio State. There was just no – once you lost to Georgia, you know, that was your disqualifying third loss, you know. So I think there's arguments to be made on both sides. But, I mean, I agree with him, like, you know, we got punished for going and playing a tough team on the road. No, they're not going to value that. But you didn't have to play that game.
Also ranked number one in the nation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you was ranked number one. You had it there in your lap. And you didn't drop too far after you lost the game.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they let you
hang
around. They didn't bury you.
They actually gave you the benefit of the doubt. But then you lost to Florida. So, hey. It is what it is. We've been in a situation, so
though, yeah.
Even though we were the reason why we didn't get where we need to go. Well, Coach, man, we still ain't got no news. Probably ain't going to get none, but we will. We do want to let everybody know that we will have our phones ablazing, and if we get some news tomorrow or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or New Year's or Black History Month, St. Patrick's Day, you know, whenever he want to, you know, decide to tell everybody, April Fool's, you know, Mother's Day, it, you know, just whenever he decides, when he look at the calendar, him and Juice will talk about it, and Juice will let us know through his Twitter that it's time to make a move. So whenever we get it, then we'll just see, we'll come back on and talk to you. But Coach, man, glad you had a safe trip, man, and that you're back in the good old state of Mississippi. I'm glad a bear didn't take you out.
I got pretty close to one.
That is pretty crazy, because your speed ain't the same, son. I heard them things are fast, and they can hit you and knock you out. But we want to thank everybody that joined us tonight, man. We had some fun. I'm telling you, this stuff don't work without you guys. We appreciate you talking to us. Everybody on the chat on Facebook, everybody on the chat at TikTok, man, we appreciate you. Make sure that you go back and listen to this episode, or if you don't want to listen to it again, man, send it to your friends. Go to Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Look up the Coach and Coach Podcast and share it with your friends. Share this episode with your friends, your buddy, your pal, your Ole Miss fans, your LSU fans, your Auburn fans. Crap, your Stanford fans, who's going to upset Notre Dame tonight. I'm with you, Stanford. But we're so happy. We're glad to be back with you. Make sure you check out Coach the Hair Raid. Man, I love that. Well, you come up with something right there. Make sure you check out Coach's show on Tuesday night when they come out with the new new top 12. And we are in conference championship season. I'm still looking at this game. Look like Auburn just got a first down. They're driving right now. But for my co-host, Coach Benji, and myself, Coach Mark, man, we appreciate you. Until we see you again, we still are Ole Miss fans. See you on the next one.